Well, I want to begin. This is a week I thought, well, this can't be a laid-back week. I'm going to kind of enjoy it. Turned out to be just knockout, drag-out week. You know, I ministered on good news and the power of it, and then the power of bad news is it steals your power that you have from the good news. It doesn't have its own power. And to focus in on good news and not bad news, and man, I heard some of the worst news in my life this week. It was just like people told me stories that I got, I never heard anything so bad in my life. At the same time, you know, so you just get aware when you get aware. And but I had a great week of just taking, you know, the counsel of looking for good news. We had a funeral Saturday for Stephanie Berry. Stephanie came to our school way back in a long time ago, but she's 41, and still don't know. She was fighting a lot of autoimmune diseases and pneumonia. We don't know. She had a real tough battle with her body all her life. And so we did that Saturday, and that makes me real mindful of just this whole deal that we all know that it's going to happen. We're all going to depart from this earth. We all know it. It's nobody's. They may get us to live a little longer, but they're not going to get us to live forever here. And so, and I think it was Bill, I think you're asking about how our team works, you know, whatever else, and preparing for Sunday. But there are churches that spend 40 hours, their staff spends 40 hours a week, every week, preparing for the service on Sunday. They practice a sermon, they bring videos in, they do all this. I mean, it's just like, wow, pretty awesome. We don't do that. We don't even talk. And even this morning, I was just, after a whole lot of things this week, I was waking up in the middle of the night and pull up my phone and say, added this little note. And then by morning, I go, man, Lord, do you want a whole different topic than what I got? I'm not, you know, and I thought, well, I'll get there and Jody will confirm what I need to do. And man, I couldn't believe it. It was just lining up perfectly. So here, I'm going to start with James, the 5th chapter, verse 7. It says this: therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it. I met farmers that weren't patient. But we're talking about a good farmer here. Being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. Do you realize you and I have the ability to strengthen our hearts? We're the ones that make that choice. We're the ones that got to figure out how to do that. And praise God we can. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door as an example of brethren of suffering and patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured, you have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. Most people, when they refer to Job, all they refer to is, I must be God's Job right now. I love to say it. I said, so you're going to double everything you got in a few moments, huh?
Well, no, I'm just going through a lot of suffering.
They go, well, you're supposed to see the outcome. The outcome of Job was, man, he flourished. We don't know how long he suffered, maybe a year or so, but man, he came out. He was already super wealthy and blessed, and he came out way better. So I want to talk about that complaint just for a second, because it bears mentioning, so Chase, you post that up. How many of you remember the 6 C's? Complain, criticize, compare, compete, correct, control. Man, these are things to be avoided in your thoughts and in your actions and everything you do. And again, so much of this is just our daily life. The outcome, I want to talk a little bit about the outcome. What is the outcome of our lives? Versus, what are the temporal trophies? And again, obviously, the Holy Spirit is teaching us today, because Jody was saying all this. And it's the Lord. It's kind of cool to think about that when we come here, it's not Pastor John and Pastor Jody ministering or whatever. It's the Holy Spirit ministering to all of us through you, through me. But he is the teacher, and he is the instructor, and he's the one guiding us. When we get to see Jesus, and Stephanie is 41, we just found out this very morning that a relative, gosh, I don't even know what is, it doesn't matter. Is Grace our niece? Or Justin? Okay, yeah, so our nephew, my oldest sister's son, his wife's brother just passed away and he's 40. Celebrating their anniversary, and had a seizure and died. And it's just the reality of life, like I said, and sometimes we want to just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of scary to think about it, I guess, or you try to focus, but I think it really makes, just like a farmer planting, he's got to think about, okay, if I plant this crop, that's the harvest I'm going to get. How does that fit in my program? And I'll be patient for it. And I was just thinking about Stephanie seeing Jesus face to face and being free from all the pain, understanding love like she's never understood before. All of us, when we see him, it's as much as we think we know him, it's going to be just absolutely mind-blowing, heart-blowing love and joy. And then I just, you know, we talked about it, just the joy of... Even with a healthy body, we are so limited in these bodies. One of the scriptures I used that was Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. And I really, for most of us, that doesn't paint much of a picture to me. Let love be without. But it's talking about let your love be revealed. Stop hiding what you're really feeling, what's really going on inside of you, and suppressing it for whatever reason. And I thought, do you know how very few of us are very free to really share what's in our heart? I mean, I get through a day sometimes, and somebody said, boy, you really looked tired yesterday. Well, I was. This thing was tired. My spirit man wasn't. And it's almost like, dang, I wish you could have saw the other part of me. Man, and people say, are you excited about the trip? And I go, I don't show much excitement usually. I got to kind of, you know, but it's like inside I'm boom, boom, boom. I'm ready for it. I want it. I want it, you know. And I thought, man, God, if I could turn loose what's inside of me, you know, we did the funeral yesterday, and then we were walking out. Jim, I'm walking out with the funeral director, Jim, and he goes, are you going to dance? Just the times I've danced at funerals, I don't know what it does, but people go, man, he danced. He was on the stage, and he was dancing in a funeral. And it's like, should that be strange? Should it be strange that we have this incredible life to be lived and that we don't ever express it? How many of you have ever felt, I shouldn't ask this, but how many of you have ever felt just a little bit prone to want to kind of step up in the aisle and do a little jig? Has anybody felt that? You're not going to run. Well, what would people think? What do you care and I care? Why do we care? You know, and I realize I'm a lot more calm than I used to be in my early days of preaching, and I don't know what it'll be like over there this time, but, you know, I'm not a different guy, but they draw out of me a lot more craziness over there. Right, Enrico? I mean, the music goes crazy, and everybody, and so I'm in another country. I've done some pretty funky stuff, man. And yet at the same time, even then, I think, man, that's nothing compared to what's really inside me. So I was in the hot tub this week, and the Lord's looking at the beautiful sky. He said, come ride with me. And I go, okay, what's he mean? What's he talking about? What's he talking about? And then just visions start coming. We sang the song, He's My King. How many of you have ever seen Braveheart? How many of you have ever seen Lord of the Rings? How many of you have ever seen those scenes when they get on their horse and they start motivating people? And then they go, for the glory of whatever country or whatever thing going on. And everybody charges. You know, those are real things that in real battles throughout history, smaller countries have won because they had so much energy and music and vitality, and they freaked the other people out and won. Man, it makes a difference. And then just, you know, when you think you're, you know, there's no hope and nothing else, but let's go out there and give it our best. And it was like the Lord just was giving me those visions and giving me those memories and giving me those thoughts, and he goes, come ride with me to victory. What a word. So the outcome of our life versus our temporal trophies. What do you think it's going to be like when we meet Jesus face to face? What are you going to? He's the judge. We read that, and he's the judge. And what do you think he's going to say about your life? What do you think he's going to put his arm around you and say, hey, everybody, I want you to know this is... Man, and this is what, here's some of the things he did on earth that we're so proud of. You think when a billionaire shows up, everybody's going, oh, that's a billionaire over there. Man, this guy had several companies when he was a, do you think that's even good? Maybe you do, I don't know. To me, it's like, I don't think that's going to be much credit. Here comes a movie star. You know, Dolly just went to Jesus. I don't think it's go, here comes the rhinestone. You know, I think she's got a great reward. But it's not because she was famous and rich and all that. It's because she loved Jesus and she shared Jesus with a lot of people. And I think she's got a great reward. I just think, but just for a moment, just think about all the things that we think are so, here's the president of the United States. You think Trump, if he gets to heaven, anyway, that's debatable, but I guess for some people. But, I mean, you think Jesus is going to blow a trumpet and have all everybody come out and say, here's the president of the United States. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think these temporal trophies down here. Here's the world famous soccer player. We just, oh, aren't it great to have him here in heaven now? I don't think so. It may be. I don't think so. I think it might be. Here's the mother that raised her children up in the Lord, and she has got a crown coming. Hallelujah. What is he going to admire, and what is he going to judge us and to give us our reward? The faithful mothers, the caregivers, the lovers of children. I think people that are in children's ministry are going to have an incredible welcome. You know, Aubrey was a little girl that died of a brain tumor. She was 14 when she died, but she saw a vision of heaven or went there, we don't know, but she came. She was supposed to die. She didn't die anyway, and she came and she shared with Elisa and with I and some others just what she saw. And one of the last things when we were having a long talk together, she kept looking at me and she said, you remember, Pastor John, Jesus loves children. And she said it over and over. John, don't forget, Jesus loves children. And I think so those people that have worked in those areas, I mean, what a great, you know, Jody was sharing and I look at these, don't compare, don't compete, don't correct, don't control, don't complain. And you think about that, what does that mean? I mean, man, settle in to what God has asked you to do and absolutely get the witness that your life is pleasing to him. And what really pleases him above everything else is the faith and trust in him. Without faith, you cannot please God. Let yourself be encouraged. Strengthen your heart with the fact of, hey, I'm not that great of a success in anything, never won a trophy in my life, but I know one thing. My Jesus is proud of me because I'm walking in faith. I trust him. He's my king, and I'm dependent on him. And I'm looking, I'm like a father. I'm a farmer. I'm more, the patience I have is I'll get my, I may not get much down here, but I'll get my reward, and my reward is going to be downright awesome. I encourage you to get that. You know, there was a guy named Jesse Duplantis that said he went to heaven 20, 30 years ago. And one of the things he said that kind of bothered me at the time, or I don't know if it bothered me, but I've thought about it a lot. He said he met the Apostle Paul just walking on the street. And Paul said to him, are they still preaching my gospel? And I thought about that. Well, what do you mean your gospel, Paul? And then, what do you think, Paul? I mean, I don't know what they know. I know they get the little tidbits. They're a cloud of witnesses that are around us, and I think they're probably closer to us than we think, but I don't think they care much about your grades, your wins, your losses, your new truck. I mean, how could you care about that kind of stuff when you've seen the glory? But true or not true, it doesn't matter, but it just stirred my thoughts for 20 years. Paul saying, how are they still preaching my gospel? I thought, Paul, you were an arrogant little sucker when you were here, and you still are. And then I got to thinking, wait a minute. We all have our gospel. Not just Paul. What's your gospel? What do you mean? What's your good news? What's the good news? Paul was expressing and preaching the good news that he understood about Jesus. And I believe that Jesus came down to him and taught him many things, you know, after. But anyway, Paul was expressing, this is according to my gospel. And I go, you and I have a gospel too. You and I, what are we proclaiming? What's our, as Greg said, what's our body billboarding? What is radiating out of us? What's our gospel to the world? Whether you ever preach up here, the word preach actually means proclaim or to show, to explain. And so everything we do, everything we say, and our attitude, all that is proclaiming our good news, how we view Jesus and how we see him. And we're explaining that to people every time we're walking and every time we're breathing. What's your gospel? What's it? You know, and it's not, don't compare, don't criticize, don't condemn yourself, but let's just be honest and say, I want to win. I want to win. I want to ride with the king. By the way, this week I got an email from a guy that's ministering to Muslims. He's Iranian. He's in America. I've talked about him before. I've met him, and I don't know him real well, but I signed up, and I get his emails, and I've shared some of that. He sent an email out this week that this week they have set up for 4 concerts right outside of Iran. Persian concerts, and at that time, they'll be giving out Bibles. He said, not telling you where we're going. Don't even guess. He said they are monitoring all this stuff all the time. But he says there'll probably be 30 to 50,000 people come across the border from Iran to get Bibles. You cannot have a Bible in Iran. You cannot take Bibles in. You cannot, it's a pretty major deal. But they will get there. There are people in Iran who have been praying for years for a Bible, and those Bibles are going to go in, and they're, you know, there's a, as you know, there's a lot of people. You say anything about Jesus, you're going to be executed. But they're willing to do that. Do you realize? I don't know if you know this, but Iran is like twice the size of Texas. 2.4 times of Texas can go in. It's a big country. And from my resources that I know, the Iranian Christians are extremely grateful for being bombed. And I don't think you and I can understand what it's like to have no freedom. We just have never experienced it. Anyway, that came up, and right now, sorry, but right now we don't have an abundance of finances with taking care of two buildings and everything else. But man, I said, man, God, I want to do something. So we sent $250. We'll maybe send some more. I was going to let you know, but this morning I forgot about it. But we'll take up an offering for that and for our mission trip to China maybe next Sunday. But so if you want to personally do more, but what you've already done, and for those of you that are on the internet that have been supporting us through PayPal and stuff, I want you to know you know you're going to get credit for that. You can honestly say, I'm doing, well, Lisa said, what can you do about Nepal? Well, we're doing something in Iran. Maybe about great, but I tell you, $250 will buy a few Bibles, and this could change thousands of lives. And I tell you, when we get to heaven, I haven't been there yet. I kind of plan to go and come back, okay? From the time I was 19, I've had a discussion with Jesus that I would get to go to heaven and come back. We'll see. But when we get there, I promise you this, what the scripture she read in Psalms is awesome. We won't be bragging about our trophies. We won't be bragging about our finances. We'll be meeting people that our prayers touched and our finances and our giving touched, and I'm telling you, it will be a heck of a party. You talk about love, and you talk about feeling great and feeling, wow, my little gift did this much. Man, it's going to be, that's worth being patient for. That's going to be, it's going to blow all of our minds. So I was driving home Saturday, and I don't want to exalt this, but also I don't want to hide these things that are going on in my life. I'm trying to, like Jody just said, we're not trying to be arrogant, but man, we're just on this journey together, and I want to share with you because that's what he's called me to do. But there's some things I don't share, but I gotta say, I was just driving down the interstate yesterday. Can't explain it. Didn't see it in a major vision, but I just saw me step into heaven, and I saw a group of young people, and they all go, Papa John! It took me off guard. One of my nicknames is PJ, Pastor John. But now I go, I'm still PJ, I'm Papa John. And I looked and go, in my heart and thought and minds, I just go, who would call me Papa John in heaven? But your brother would. My son was there that I haven't ever met, and he called me Dad. And I don't know if this means so much to you, but I thought, I give that some thought, because the pressures on this life plain to criticize, compare, to be fearful of what you're going to do in life, what you're going to accomplish in life, how am I ever going to be a success? Well, just to sometimes take your focus off that and say, there's coming a day when, and it could be any day, I may not make it. I think about Stephanie, 41, and this young man, 40, and I go, man, I've had 31 more years than they did to see an incredible lot to do. If I go another 35 years, how many more will be there? And what a thing to go for. I'm competitive. I see all these volleyball girls playing volleyball, Nebraska was playing the other day. Man, They're just awesome. And every time they get done, they slap hands, hug each other. And I go, and I was just watching, I was talking to Bill, and I go, I'm not that way. I hardly ever slap hands or, you know, and, you know, you'd think me, John Williamson, a pastor, would be the best cheerleader. I'm not. It's like, focus on the game. Stop that stuff. It bothers me. Oh, it's just stocking and slapping hands. And I go, I'm sorry. It's just my opinion. It has nothing to do with truth. But I just go, golly, people, pay attention. And that's if we're just playing on Friday night. I'm competitive from that standpoint. I want to win. But I'm telling you, to shift your focus of what really is a win and what isn't a win in this temporal world is nothing. It really is nothing. It is nothing to worry about. Your status, your income, your, it's nothing to really worry about. It comes and it goes so fast. And all the worrying I did in high school, man, I worried. I was so worried that I would never have a really loving relationship. I went home and hugged my pillow dreaming it was a girl that someday wanted to marry me. Oh, my gosh, it's embarrassing to talk about it. I'd weep and I'd cry, and then I'd go to school, and I would not show that at all. And one girl told me 20 years later, I would have dated you if you would, but you acted like you didn't have any interest at all. And I go, who in the world were you looking at? I was so insecure. I was so fearful. And I got out of high school and I said, dear God, I will never do that again. I'll never worry about stupid things. And that's what I said when I turned 30. I said it again, 35. 36, 37, 40, 45, 50, 71. Still doing it. Still fussing and worrying about the stupidest things, the temporal things that logically, folks, we're only here for a short little time. It is not the big picture. The game really is not here. Death is the doorway to the start of our lives. At the same time, he said, you can lay up some incredible things for your future that's going to remain forever. The trophies that are on the other side when we leave this body will never go away. And I don't know what that is, but if my Jesus, who knows what it is, said, hey, guys, listen to me. Lay up treasures in heaven. It just behooves us to listen. Amen. And then I believe when we start focusing in on what's really important and what's really going to count, I believe this temporal world is going to get better and better for us. Isn't that what he said? Seek the kingdom of God and all these other things be added to. I think our relationships, our fun, definitely our finances, all that would be so much better and increase just so easily if we would keep our focus on the fact of who we really are. We are the children of God. If you were God, what would you have done different in respect to mankind? I want you to think about this sometime. If you were God, what would you do different with in respect to mankind? And I can tell you this, one of the things I would do, I would have put more limits on mankind, on their choices. I would not have given man the freedom that Jesus has given. I heard some of the most hideous things this week of what men have done and women have done to each other. And my heart goes, God, why didn't you put a limit? Why didn't you say this far, no farther, just like the ocean? I think this is one of the biggest questions. I think this is why some people say they are atheists is because they don't want to believe in a God that gave them choice. It terrifies them. They're not hating God. They're terrified. Because if you really start understanding how much God loves us, how much respect he has for us, how much he's given to us, and that he does not have a limit. This is the biggest question I think people have. If there's a God of love, how can he allow men to do what they do to other men? And so if I was God, I would have put a limit on their power and their choices. And even talking to you right now, it still sounds good to me. But I'm smart enough to know I'm not the sharpest tool. He knows what he's doing. Which brings us to this point. So what we used to say in finances, if somebody's going to come and put a floor underneath you. You ever hear this one? If in the economic world, if somebody's going to come and put a floor underneath you, what's that mean? That means you can only go so far down, boom, and you're going to hit the floor. And what that means is when the government, when a parent, when somebody comes into your life and says, I will never let you get lower than this. What that means is they're also going to put a ceiling on you that says you'll never go this point. You know why people hate billionaires? Because of this whole thing of freedom and this whole thing of no limits. Nobody should be a trillionaire. Oh, so you want to be the society that says, we will never let you be poor. We'll never let you lack. We'll always make sure you got a home and you got this and that. But here's the deal. We're going to put a floor underneath you so you can't go down lower than that. But then we'll put this ceiling in. Don't you dare try to go above that ceiling. That's communism. That's socialism. That's what it is. And most people feel more comfortable with that than they do with, and relating that now. Most of us in our flesh would crave, yeah, put a floor underneath me so I can't go any lower. But also then I know I'll have a ceiling that I can't go any higher, but I probably won't go high anyway, so what the heck. And what is Jesus saying? Come. Get on your horse. I got one friend, he's listening to this. He doesn't like horses, so get on your Kawasaki. Get on your horse and come ride with me to victory. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe. The Bible says dipped, but I'm going to use the correct word here. He's clothed in a robe splattered and saturated in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm only human. I'm only human. Well, I'm only human. one of the sweetest, tastiest lies in the universe. So appealing. Dainty morsel that is so easy to covet. In other words, I'm only human. I don't know if you'll find much more of a bigger lie. But it's comforting. It's just justifying. It sounds humble, but it's as arrogant as you can get. It comes out of extreme pride. I'm only human. I guess maybe if you pulled the only out, it'd be truth. I am human, but I'm not only human. I'm in the image of God. I have His Spirit. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Everything He owns, I own. Everything He has, I have. All the power of the universe dwells inside me, and there is no limit to how high and how powerful and how awesome I am. I'm only human. Everybody has fear. Everybody is insecure. Everybody is worried. Because we're only human. He says, come ride with me. There's no snags. There's no limit. And it's forever. And it doesn't happen after you're out of this body. What really impresses Jesus is when you believe that while you're in this body. I don't know if when we get there, he'll blow a trumpet and say, hey, everybody, here he is. Here she is. I don't know what that's going to be like. I don't know. I think it's going to be different for all of us. You know, if Iran is 2.5 times bigger than Texas, how much bigger do you think heaven is than earth? It's big. So when somebody said, I went to heaven and saw this, well, they only saw a little bit of it. There's a whole lot more we ain't seen, ain't even heard of. Well, I don't think you're ever going to say, I'm only human again without having a thought. Huh? I hope I ruined your life of ever saying, I'm only human and feel good about it. I hope you said, I'm a human, say, oh, dear. Maybe that's not a good thing to say. I'm scared. I am human, but I'm not only. And there's a spirit man inside of me that says, he died so I could be free. He died so I could be me. He died so I could be free to be me and not be worried about everybody thinking about me. And he died so I never have to compare myself to anybody or criticize them or judge them or try to control them or try to compete with them. Or he died so I could absolutely have an open ride into glory before I leave this body. Here am I. I got to go find a white horse. Father, we thank you for this day. It's a day like no other. It's a day of truth. It's a day of freedom. It's a day of good news. When the angels came and proclaimed the great news, there's one being born. There's one being born. that's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's come to set his people free. He's come to die for the, and he became sin so they could become righteous. He became sick and full of every disease so they could be healed. He became poor, poverty. He was the owner of all things with God, and he lost it all for a few hours so that we could be rich financially, mentally, emotionally, strengthened in our hearts. And for us, Lord Jesus, today we declare out of our mouth what we believe in our heart. God, we want this freedom. We want to walk in this freedom. We want to live in this freedom. And as we see you, we are like you, and we want to see you on that white horse. And that robe that you've got that's splattered and soaked in blood is the blood of our enemies. It's the blood of demons. And you want every one of our enemies to be slaughtered. And you're inviting us to come ride with you to victory. And why we're here on this earth and why we've got breath in our lungs, you've given us the invitation to be more than conquerors, to let the greater one that's inside of us come out big, and to destroy the works of the devil and destroy the works of the evil in the world. We are the light. We are the salt. We are not the Savior, but the Savior dwells in us, and we're riding with our King to glory and to victory. Now, until our last breath. And then the fun really begins. I'm in. Anybody else want to be in? I'm in. I'm in, Jesus. Count me in. Bring me that Kawasaki if I can't handle a horse, but I'm in. God bless me. Amen. Amen. Gosh, I love you. Not too many people could handle that message. Thank you. God bless you.